Years ago, I worked at a car dealership, Vision Hyundai, and many of the co-workers would debate, argue, divide over so many different things. And maybe you've heard the expression at the water cooler, people gather around the water cooler, or maybe the coffee pot, or wherever it might be in your place of work, where people gather together and generally gossip and let frustrations out and complain and things to that nature. Well, at the car dealership, it was the parts department. That's where most of us who were in the service department spent most of our time waiting for the parts people. So we spent a lot of time there, a lot of the different folks, whether it was salesmen or technicians, service writers, we would spend a lot of time at the parts department. And many times there would be these arguments, these debates, between different people, technicians and service writers going back and forth, parts guys going back and forth with technicians and service writers, parts guys, salesmen, you name it. Like, everybody would always go there and they'd be bickering and debating and going back and forth. And there's this one guy, his name was Donnell, and he never failed. Whenever it started getting really heated, he would say, "Can't everyone just get along? Can't we just get along?" And that's the title of tonight's message, is "Can't We All Just Get Along?" And yeah, I would laugh too, and I would be like, "Amen, can't we just get along? Like, what's going on here?" And maybe you experienced that at your school, maybe you experienced that at your workplace, or you know, wherever that you gather, you've experienced that, where people go back and forth and they debate and argue and they are in different sides of different topics or things that are going on. But why is that? Why is that? See, the truth is that generally people don't get along. Not at work, not families, not churches, not Christians that love Jesus and genuinely are looking to please him. We don't always get along on every single area. And why? Well, because we disagree on different things. We see things differently. We come from different backgrounds. And all of this causes us to have different convictions, different levels of comfort concerning certain things, especially if we don't fully understand the freedom that we have in Christ and through the gospel. And that's what Paul is going to be addressing tonight. So tonight we're going to continue in the Romans chapter 14. And Dave Tarangino last week took us through verse 12. And tonight we're going to continue through verse 13 through the end of the chapter, verse 23. Now, I want to reiterate before we get there what Dave Tarangino shared last week. And that is that we are talking about things that are secondary issues. We're not talking about sin. We're not talking about essential doctrines of the faith. We're talking about secondary issues, issues of conscience. Some would call them gray areas, things where God gives freedom, but believers have differing convictions based on these freedoms. And Paul in the text tonight is going to show us how the gospel teaches us and trains us how we should treat one another when we don't see things the same way. Now, if you remember from earlier in Romans, Pastor David mentioned that Paul, in the book of Romans, really is explaining the gospel in great depth. And as Nick mentioned a couple weeks ago, first 11 chapters really is talking about the gospel doctrinally. And then in chapter 12 through chapters 15, Paul begins to show us how the gospel should change the way that we live, what we do, how we think, how we treat each other, etc. Now, the first verses in Romans 12 tells us that it's our reasonable service to offer our lives a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him. So that's what Paul lands on through those 11 chapters. He says, now it is our reasonable service to lay your life down, holy and acceptable to God. That's just reasonable to do that because of all that Christ has done for us. So, can't we all just get along? The answer is yes, yes. But only if we allow the word of God and the gospel to transform us. not to be conformed to this world and the way that the world deals with things, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind through the Spirit of God. That's also in the first verses of Romans chapter 12. And you've probably heard it said, and maybe you haven't, but God didn't save you to leave you the way you are. God didn't save you to leave you the way you are. He saved you to change you and to make him more like him, to make you more like Jesus, right? We see that in Romans 8:29. That he has predestined us to become conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. In Romans 14, we're going to see that if we truly understand the gospel, it's going to change the way that we treat people who have different convictions or different areas of conscience concerning, again, I can't stress this enough, non-essential things, not things that are sin, not things that are areas of doctrine, but non-essentials. So if all that is an introduction, again, the title of tonight's message is Can't We All Just Get Along? Now, we're going to read through verses 13 to 23 in just a second, but before we do, I want to remind you where Paul ends in chapter 14, verse 12, where he says, "So then each of us shall give an account to himself to God." And so Paul is concluding that because each of us are personally accountable to God, how we treat one another, that's what he's going to get to when we see the therefore, because in verse 13, it's going to start therefore. And whenever we see therefore, we need to find out what it's there for. So it's there telling us that all of us, remember Dave said, all of us in the scriptures have said that we're all going to stand before God one day, and we're all going to have to give an account to God. Therefore, because of that, is now where we're going to start. Now, there's 3 points that I'm going to get to, and they're all come from the scripture there where it says, therefore. You're going to see 3 times in these verses where it says, therefore, therefore, therefore. And so with that, let's read through Romans 14, starting in verse 13. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. I am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet, if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify one another or another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for this time that you've gathered us here together. We've set this time apart for you. You have set it apart for us to be gathered around your word. And I pray that as we consider the things that Paul wrote here to the church in Rome, that, Lord, we would also take those things and apply it personally to our lives, Lord God. And truly, we want you to have your way with us, Lord God, that you would have free reign in our hearts, God, that, Lord, we do desire, and we've come here because we realize that it is our reasonable service to lay our lives down, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you, Lord. And so as you teach us how we are to deal with one another concerning these non-essential issues, I just pray that you give clarity and that you would help us, Lord God, to endeavor, Lord God, to keep the unity of faith in the bonds of peace. And so we just thank you, we praise you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So let's start back in verse 13 where he says, therefore, it's the first therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in a brother's way. And Paul says, I know and I am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean to him, it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one whom Christ has died. So the first therefore is this, not to judge, but to resolve to not put a stumbling block in front of your brother or your sister and cause them to fall. So it's this, not to judge, but to protect. We are called to protect one another's walk, conscience. We are to protect. Paul begins this because it's important that our attitude towards one another is that of not judgment, but of protection, of protecting one another. And if we're going to get along, we have to stop assuming the worst about each other, but understand that we are all in different places in our faith journey. Each one of us is in a different place in our journey of faith. That doesn't make it wrong. That doesn't make it right. It just makes it different. And notice there where he says resolve, that word, it means to determine. Or think of it this way, to decide ahead of time. Resolve, determine, decide ahead of time. Not I'll try, not I'll see how I feel about it in the moment, but I've already decided I'm not going to be the reason that someone stumbles. That's what he's saying. Resolve, determine. Decide ahead of time. I'm not going to do that. A lot of conflict in the church at large today isn't about right versus wrong. It's about different areas of conscience, non-essential issues. And God is the one who created people with a conscience. One way to look at it, look at what your conscience is that your conscience is your personal and internal guide or your internal compass. Romans 2:14 says this, or actually I didn't write it down here, but let's read it. Romans chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. He says this, for when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are law to themselves. Now listen, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, that their conscience also bearing witness and between themselves their thoughts, accusing or excusing them. Accusing or excusing them. It's teaching that God has written his law in every human heart. And our conscience, it's what either accuses us or excuses us. Every believer has a conscience. Actually, every person has a conscience. And it's that God-given internal compass. And God is the one who deals with a person's conscience. It's not you. It's not me. It's not our place to judge, but to protect. Again, these are non-essential issues. Our job isn't to control someone else's conscience or to pressure them to go past what their conscience allows them to do. In this case, in the church, it was about food, eating foods that were unclean, eating foods that were clean and unclean. And that's what the issue was here. Now, we don't really have that issue here. maybe some do. But we don't really have those issues. But we're going to talk about what are some of the issues that maybe we deal with on a regular basis or that we've seen. And again, our job is to make sure that we're not putting a stumbling block in front of our brother or sister. Instead of doing something or saying something that would cause them to fall, we are called to protect them from falling. Now, again, we don't really deal with things about eating certain foods, clean versus unclean, here in Romans, or in a minute we're going to go to 1 Corinthians, where it was food sacrificed to idols. But we do have our own areas of conscience of what is right and what is wrong, what is allowed and what is not allowed. And some believers feel very strong about their freedoms to do one thing, while others are very sensitive to the exact same things. And I think some of the reasons believers feel strong about certain things and others don't is that we, again, come from different backgrounds. We have different experiences. We have different cultures, different religious backgrounds and experiences that we bring into our walk. We have different sensitivities based on experiences that we've gone through personally. In addition to that, some have not truly understood the gospel fully in the teaching of grace that we have in Christ. Now, some of these areas could, these are things that I've experienced, and I've done both, homeschool versus public school. Should I send my kids to homeschool, or should I homeschool my kids, or should I send them to public school? And people end up, we've done both. We've did homeschool for a while, and we've sent our kids to public school. So we've done both. With some people, they can get, you know, you shouldn't send your kids to public school. You shouldn't, or you should only homeschool, you know, whatever it might be. So we can't, those are areas that the Bible doesn't clearly say what we should do. So we have to, in those areas, we have to be loving. We have to be, it's okay if one does homeschool and one does not. The important thing is to bring up your kids in the admonition of the Lord. To help them to know the word of God. And I mean, that's the important part. We could all agree on that, right? That's the important thing. And then there's issues of movies. What movie should you watch, or what type of entertainment? Should we have Christmas trees as Christians? These are all things that I've experienced. We shouldn't have Christmas trees. A Christian should not have any Christmas tree. You know, these are different issues that I've seen. How we are to dress in church. We should wear a suit when we come to church. Right? I mean, there's all different areas. Even as we were sitting there worshiping, I was thinking, you know, it could enter our mind. It's like, should we sit down or should we stand up? Should I raise my hands or should I not raise my hands? How come they're not raising their hands? They don't love Jesus as much as I love Jesus? I mean, right? I mean, we could start thinking that way. Right? We could start thinking that way and think less, oh man, I wish they were more spiritual and raise their hands or stay standing or, you know, sitting up or whatever it is. You know what? They love the Lord. They're praising God. They've been forgiven much, so they're going to praise God much and praise the Lord, right? I mean, let's protect one another. Let's not get involved in these matters that divide and don't cause us to build one another up. So that's so very important. And again, these aren't things that are things about salvation or doctrinal issues. These are things that, you know, they're non-essentials. It's okay. It's not right. It's not wrong. It's just different. Yeah, they don't worship the way I do. They don't dress the way that I do. It's okay. But you see, these were things where Christians can be tempted to judge one another. That's one way, and we talked about this last week, or Dave did, or that we could show contempt for one another, right? So we could either cast judgment or we could have contempt for one another. And Paul says, no, stop judging one another, but instead resolve to protect one another from stumbling or falling. That's our job. That's what we're to do. And Paul isn't calling us to be the same. He's calling us to show restraint, and in doing so, we protect, we guard, and we show love to our brothers and sisters. Now, here in verses 15 and 16, we've seen that. Let me read it again here. Where he says, I'm going to start in 14. I know and I'm convinced by the Lord Jesus there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers it to be unclean, to him it is unclean. If your brother is grieved because of your food and you are no longer walking in love, do not destroy your food, the one whom Christ has died. Now, in those verses, and then also in 1 Corinthians 8, it warns that our liberty can cause others to stumble. And when it does, that we're actually sinning against Christ himself. And that's very, very important to know. And I'm going to read now out of 1 Corinthians chapter 8. This is going to be out of the New Living Translation. We're going to pick it up in verse 9. Now, prior to this, Paul is talking, just to give you a little bit of background before we read verse 9. He's talking about food sacrificed to idols. And so there was temple worship that would sacrifice food to these idols. And Paul says, we know, this is verse 6, 7, 8. He says, we know that there is no idols. There's only one God. Right? He says, we understand that there's only one God. So there is no sacrificing to idols because there's only one God. These are not real. There is no other God other than God. And so then he says, but even though this is true, even though I understand this to be true, that there is no real sacrificing to idols because there is no other God, even though I know this to be true, but you must be careful so that your freedom, you have freedom to eat food sacrificed to idols is what Paul is saying, right? We have freedom in these non-essential areas, but be careful so that your freedom does not cause others with a weaker conscience to stumble. For if others see you with your superior knowledge, right? He's saying you have knowledge that there's only one God. You have this knowledge, right? And in another area, he says, knowledge puffs up, right? So he says, you have the superior knowledge, but eating in the temple of an idol, won't they be encouraged to violate their conscience by eating food that is offered to an idol? So people were coming out of these pagan temples and coming to Christ, and for them, eating food sacrificed to an idol was something that they couldn't do with a clear conscience. And so Paul is saying, because of your superior knowledge, look at verse 11, a weak believer from whom Christ died will be destroyed. And when you sin against other believers by encouraging them to do something they believe is wrong, you are sinning against who? Against Christ. So if what I eat causes another believer to sin, I will never eat meat again as long as I live, for I don't want to cause another believer to stumble. So Paul is saying, yes, I understand that there is no such thing as like a problem with eating food sacrificed to idols because I understand that there's only one true God. I understand that. But if my brother, who's just come to the Lord, he's coming out of this pagan idol worship, and can't have a clear conscience of eating this food that was offered to idols in the temple, then because you want to protect your brother, because you care for him out of love, you'll say, well, I'm not going to eat meat sacrificed to idols when I'm around him. All right, we're going to see that a little bit later. It says if you do it, if you're going to do these things, do it to yourself. You're going to do it, go home and eat your food sacrificed to idols. But when you're around your brothers and sisters who, with a clear conscience, can't get over it, don't do it in front of them. Why? Because that can cause them to stumble. And we don't want our brothers and sisters to stumble. So because of that, he says, I will never eat meat again as long as I live, for I don't want to cause another believer to stumble. And that's the way that we have to look at these things. If there is an area that we have a clear conscience in doing, but our brothers and sisters don't. Don't give them an opportunity to stumble just because of your liberty. And we're going to get into that a little bit and hopefully give you a little bit more clarity of what all that looks like and what all that means. But what we need to realize now is that our liberty, when our liberty causes a brother to stumble, we sin against Christ, and it says that we risk damaging the work that God is doing in that person's life. So we have to determine to protect one another's walk and help each other grow into grace and maturity, right? To get them to the place where they understand that, you know what? There's only one true God, right? So that's what Paul's thought was. Like, my thought is that I want to come alongside of them. I want to protect them And in doing that, instead of pushing them away, I'm going to bring them closer to Christ, and we're going to have an opportunity to minister to them and bring them up to an understanding of what the Bible teaches or what the Word of God teaches concerning these things, right? Isn't that our goal? Isn't that what we want, our brothers and sisters, to build them up in the faith? Well, yes, of course. So the second, therefore, or the second point is choose love over liberty. Choose love over liberty. In Romans 14, verse 16 through 18, it says, therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ, interesting, who are you serving? When you do these things, you're serving Christ. In these things is acceptable and to God and approved by men. So the second, therefore, is choose love over liberty. Now, we need to make sure that when we walk in love towards another, especially the weaker Christian, and this could be maybe it's a new Christian or one that just hasn't matured in the word or in the doctrines, right? And when Paul says weaker, he's not saying they are less saved. He's not saying that they're less spiritual. He means a believer whose conscience is more sensitive in certain areas. And many times because of their background, their past bondages, or where they are in their spiritual journey. And they may be strong in a lot of ways, but sensitive in this one area. So we don't look down on them, right? We choose to love them and help them to develop. I mean, that's what we want, the way that we want to look at them. So he says here, the liberty that we have that in itself may not be evil. So if in that verse, he says, why should your good, right, the liberty that we have that in itself may not be evil. There's nothing evil in that liberty that you have. It can cause our brothers or sisters to stumble and be spoken of as evil. That's what he's saying. Don't let your good be spoken of as evil. It's true. As Christians, we have been set free and we have liberties. That's true. We have liberty in Christ, but we must allow and determine to let love to guide us, to direct us, to show us how to walk in liberty without causing an offense or put a stumbling block in another Christian's path. Simply, don't let your liberty become a danger to someone. We have to choose the higher road of love. One of the things that I've learned have really stuck with me, and this came from a sheriff's instructor training that we went. Me and Lisa went to a firearm safety course, and the instructor said this, just because you can doesn't mean you should. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. And that's what Paul is saying here in Romans 14. Let me give you some examples. A Christian may feel free to have a glass of wine. Biblically, that's not sinful. But doing it in front of a brother or sister who has spent years battling alcohol, who finally got saved, got sober, is trying to walk with Jesus, that same liberty that you have can become a temptation for that person. So like Paul, we say, I'll never drink wine in front of that person, ever. Right? If that's the case. So you're good. It's okay. There's nothing wrong, right, with having a glass of wine, but your good can be spoken of as evil if you do it in a way that it can cause stumbling to your brother or to your sister. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Another, some people can be stumbled in again, movies or entertainment. You may feel free to watch certain shows, listen to certain music, play certain video games, but someone else may have come out of a background, a dark background, the occult, etc., and here's you listening to something, watching something, playing a game, and they could be stumbled. But these are things that seem harmless, right? To you, it seems harmless. You have a clear conscience, but we don't know. Could that pull them back into things that they used to dabble in and used to, you know, used to get involved in? So we have to be careful. We have to choose love over liberty. Just because we have the liberty to do it doesn't mean that we should. right? Just because we can doesn't mean we should. And then there's a personal, very personal example, current in my home, and how we need to take that higher road of love. As many of you may know, Lisa is recovering from a recent hospital stay, and she's dealing with a contagious intestinal infection. She's been very careful to protect us, and especially her 81-year-old mom who's staying with us during the winter months. And she needs to use the bathroom often, and she can only use the bathroom by herself because it's contagious and has to be bleached and all this stuff. But our upstairs bedroom is right next to, or our upstairs bathroom is right next to our bedroom, right? It's next to her mom's bedroom. So Lisa needs to be near a bathroom. She has every right and liberty to use the upstairs bathroom, but she chose not to. She chose to use the downstairs bathroom, which is less convenient. It's more difficult for her, all because she didn't want to risk exposing her mom or just possibly that in the middle of the night. You know, as you get older, you got to go to the bathroom 2-3 times. You know, so not to, that she would fall down the stairs or so. Although she had the right and the liberty, I mean, that's her house. She has the right and the liberty to use that bathroom. She chose not to. Right now, that's not an area of conscience, but it just shows that we need to take that higher road of love when it comes to looking out for others and the concern for others. And just because we do have a liberty, just because we can, doesn't always mean that we should. She didn't say, what am I allowed to do, but what is the most loving thing to do? Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm reading this out of New Living's, starting in verse 23, it says, you say, I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. Not everything is beneficial for you. That's what it says in the New King James. I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. Don't be concerned for your own good, but for the good of others, for the good of others. So yeah, I'm allowed to do it. I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. Right? Just because we have certain liberties, we still have to be careful. We don't want to fall back into sin just because we have a certain liberty. So it's not everything is good for you just because you have that liberty. And then not everything is beneficial. Not for you, not for others. So yes, you can, but should you? That should be the question. Yes, you are allowed, but are you thinking of just yourselves or of others? Not everything that is permitted is beneficial for you or for others. Remember, don't seek your own good, but the good of others. And in verse 17, it says that the kingdom of God isn't just about food. It's not just about drink. It's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. In other words, the kingdom of God is not about exercising my right to do certain things. No, it's about reflecting Christ in a way that is pleasing to the Lord and brings joy and peace. That should be the focus. Now, how is this done? In the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit, with God's help. And it's beautiful here because when we're doing that, like it said here, when we're doing that, we are serving Christ. We're serving Christ. We're serving Christ and we're serving our brothers and sisters when we choose to not just do it because we can, but we choose not to because we chose to love instead of getting our way or doing things our way or just because you can. Galatians 5:13 says this, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. In love. Philippians 2, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then listen. Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, working together with one mind and one purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Take an interest in others too. Don't just think about how things affect you. How will it affect your brother? How will it affect your sister? Will it cause them to stumble, to be tempted, to fall? That's the way that we should be thinking. Use your liberty to serve one another in love and humility. And what love does, it chooses righteousness, peace, and joy over personal choice. Chooses righteousness, peace, and joy over personal choice. It chooses what builds others up, not what tears them down. So number three is pursue peace and build others up. Pursue peace and build others up. Verse 19, Romans 14. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify or build one another up, or build, that's what it means, edify, to exhort. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. So the third, therefore, is pursue peace and build others up. Now, living in peace doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen by osmosis. Now, forgive me if you're in law enforcement here, but going to the donut shop doesn't make you a police officer. It says that peace has to be pursued. Peace requires you to be intentional. It requires you also to be humble. In Hebrews 12:14, it says, work at living in peace with everyone. Work. And work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. But the point is work. Work at living in peace. It has to be intentional. You have to pursue it. Peace is something that you work at, pursue. It's not something that you just wait to happen. It just doesn't just happen. Ephesians 4, verse 2 and 3, it says, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. And then listen, verse 3, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Make every effort. Work, pursue. We have to be intentional about pursuing peace and building one another up. So we see that peace takes effort. It takes humility. And to be clear, I'm talking about peace with our fellow man, not with God. The peace that we have with God comes immediately when you accept Jesus Christ into your life, right? That's the peace of God. We have peace with God because of what he's done for us on the cross. That's not the peace that I'm talking about. That peace we have as a gift from Jesus, right? We were at one time, we were at enmity, we were at odds with God, and the Lord brought us. If you look at Jesus on the cross, he took the hand of holy God and sinful man, and he brought us together, and he made peace. That's not the peace that I'm talking about. I'm talking about peace with our fellow man. Now, let me give you an example. Sometimes two people serve together, right? This is during vacation Bible school. I'm going to use this example. Like Lisa and I, and we're wired completely different. One of us loves structure, planning, and clear roles. Another loves flexibility, spontaneity, and figuring things out as they go. Now, which of us is which? I'm going to let you guys figure that out. Because when I go home, I want to have peace. But one person wants to do things one way, the other wants to do another way. Jim Wilson and I have also experienced this many, many times. Jim Wilson's a great blessing. He usually helps me in vacation Bible school and just all types of jobs around here. But Many times, one sees that we should do things one way, and the other thinks we should do it the wrong way. No, I'm just another way. That's true. But it's not that it's wrong or right. It's just, again, it's different. And that's okay. And in either case, what we do is we pursue peace for the greater good of the mission, right? So we think of, what's the greater good? The greater good is Vacation Bible School, is to bring kids to know the Lord and to be discipled in the Lord. And so we put our differences aside and we come together and pursue peace. We accept one another where we're at, right? And we'll talk, that's what happens. When peace is pursued, both say, let's talk about it. Let's think it through. Let's bend a little bit. Let's work together for the sake of ministry, for the sake of our brother, for the sake of our sister, not just on my preference or my way, right? Because that's the whole thing. It's not just about, well, I got the right to do this. I can do this. No. What is pursue peace? Pursue peace so that we could build one another up. Now, peace and maturity or spiritual growth often go together, and pursuing peace is part of helping each other grow in the Lord and coming to spiritual maturity. That's what happens when we pursue peace. We help each other grow. Back in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, it says this, This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. That's what pursuing peace is to do, that we are to grow up in maturity in the Lord, that we would accomplish everything that God has called us to do, that we would walk in everything that God has called us to do. That's why we choose to not judge, but to protect, to choose love over liberty, to pursue peace and build up.
Amen.
And as Christians, we're all still growing in the Lord, all of us. Some are further than others, but we all have areas that we need to grow in, that we need to mature in, every one of us. So what our brothers and sisters need to help them grow is patience, guidance, examples of what spiritual maturity looks like. And this can all happen when we pursue peace over personal preference, when we choose love over personal choice, when we choose to build each other up instead of tearing them down with our liberties. Just because we can doesn't mean we should. Again, peace doesn't happen by accident. On the contrary, it happens when believers intentionally and purposefully choose to make decisions to build others up. And then verse 22 and 23, we're going to close here. And this is really your walk before God in faith. That's what he's talking about here. He says in verse 22, do you have faith? Have it to who?
Yourself.
Yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. You see, himself, yourself, he, him. Who's he talking to? Us. Right? So there's that looking out for our brothers and sisters, but then there's us. So Paul ends this chapter by turning everything back to personal convictions. At the end of the day, we don't answer to people. Who do we answer to? God, that's where we started in verse 12. If you can't do something in faith, this is what he's saying. If you can't do something in faith with a clear conscience before the Lord, then it doesn't matter who approves it, and we shouldn't do it. Right? Just because another Christian is doing it doesn't mean you should do it. Do you have a clear conscience in doing that? Has the Lord given you a clear conscience to do that? Then you shouldn't do it. Unity in the church doesn't start with everyone agreeing. The truth is, when it comes to secondary issues, we don't always agree. Unity starts when everyone is personally walking before God with honesty, humility, and love. Right? When we say, Lord, do I have a clear conscience in doing this? Is this what I should be doing? Is this where I should be? Is this where I should go? Is this what I should say? So again, can't we all just get along? Right? The answer is yes. But listen, not by pretending that we don't have differences, not by making everyone to see or do things our way, but by allowing the gospel to teach us and train us how we ought to treat one another with love and in peace. And also by keeping our conscience clean before the Lord. That's the important thing. Can you do what you're doing if the Lord was there? Would you do it? If their answer is no, then you shouldn't be doing it, for you it's sin. The gospel frees us, but remember, love keeps liberty from becoming a stumbling block as we protect one another, as we choose to love over exercising our abilities, and as we pursue peace that builds others up. So yes, we can get along. Not only can we all get along, we could bring one another along to full maturity in Christ to accomplish what he wants to in us. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray. And Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for this time that we've had in your word. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to etch these things in our minds, that, Lord, we would resolve, Lord God, determine to not put a stumbling block in front of our brothers or sisters, but that, Lord, we would choose to protect them. Lord, that we would choose love over our personal liberties, that we would choose to put our own choices, our own freedoms, our own liberties aside for the sake of our brother, for the sake of our sister. We pray that we would continue to pursue peace, Lord God, that, Lord, we wouldn't have disunity and division over these things, but that, Lord, we would pursue to have peace, to be united, to seek the things that unite us, seek the things that bring us together, seek the things that glorify you, Lord, seek the things that cause us to serve one another and ultimately serve you, Lord God. And Lord, you know where each of us are at. You know the liberties that we have, and Lord, help us to be honest and humble with one another, with ourselves, Lord, before you. And if there's anything, Lord, that we're doing that we shouldn't be doing, we pray that we would be honest and humble and ask you. And that, Lord, we wouldn't do it if we're not supposed to be doing it, Lord God. That, Lord, pride comes before the fall, that we wouldn't think we're so prideful in an area of liberty that would cause us to stumble ourselves, Lord. But then also that there's an area of liberty that we feel the right that we could do before other Christians that could cause them to stumble, that also you would convict us, and that we would care and love for our brothers and sisters so much that, like Paul said, we'll never do that again. If we're going to do it, we'll do it in our own homes, but not anywhere would cause my brother or sister to stumble, God. So we just thank you, Lord. We praise you for this time. Pray that you would now just receive our worship. And we just thank you in Jesus' name.